From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, there are even more options on the table regarding Gulf of Alaska bycatch after the North Pacific Council met. We have a new director of the Commercial Fisheries Division, and once again, proof that you shouldn't mess with the Lacey Act. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Salmon bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska trawl fishery has been under scrutiny for years. In 2012, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council proposed a revision in the Gulf trawl fisheries management structure. As KSKA's Evelyn Lockyer reports, the council is slowly making headway on the issue.
Chinook salmon and Pacific halibut are taken as prohibited species or bycatch by the Gulf Groundfish Trawl Fleet. And the North Pacific Fishery Management Council wants to provide tools for better managing the prohibited species catch. In October of last year, the council approved a motion outlining alternatives designed to protect fishing-dependent communities. One proposal would allocate groundfish and bycatch to voluntary fishing cooperatives. Another would design a management model that would provide protections through a community association as defined under the Magnuson-Stevens Act. At its most recent meeting in Anchorage, the council brought back those ideas and added another one proposed by Alaska's council members. Darrell Brownen is a fisheries consultant who works with the council.
What they did at this meeting is they also added a fourth alternative, which would only allocate prohibited species catches of Chinook salmon and halibut and not allocate any of the directed fisheries.
That means the bycatch would be divided up rather than the target fish. In the Gulf, a certain amount of bycatch is allowed in the fisheries targeting groundfish like Pacific cod, flounder, or pollock, but when the fleet reaches the bycatch cap, the fishery is shut down. Under the newest proposal, which also establishes fishing cooperatives, each co-op would be given an allocation of the total bycatch limit. Sam Cunningham, a council economist, says that a cooperative contract would ensure that fishermen work together to optimize the harvest while they stay closely connected to monitor bycatch levels.
And what the council is looking to do through this action is to set up a framework of cooperatives within the Gulf trawl fleet, and that would allow fishermen to work together to prosecute their fishery within the constraint of those limits and also seek opportunities to fish in ways that result in less bycatch when possible.
The current Gulf trawl management system is often referred to as, quote, a race for fish, with catch limits for each species but few other directives. Cunningham says that under the present scenario, some fishermen would stand down to stay under the bycatch cap, while others would not.
And the person who goes out and fish would benefit and potentially take some of those Chinook salmon or halibut bycatch, while the people who are standing down don't have the benefit of fishing, but the bycatch limit is still moving towards a cap that would close the fishery.
The recent option does not allocate targeted species to avoid disruption of the historical patterns in the Gulf fisheries. Cunningham says that changes in how the fishery is managed might prompt vessel operators to change the time they fish or change where they deliver their catch. Changes like that could cause loss of crew or processor jobs. Darrell Brownen says the council realizes that allocating targeted catches could have a negative impact on communities which depend on processor jobs.
What they're trying to do is keep the crews and the vessels in similar communities that they've historically been, delivering to similar processors, so there's not a lot of disruption in the fishery.
Brownen says the council at this point is only defining the alternatives it is considering. Those will go out for analysis and then come back for consideration for several meetings to come before any final action is taken. Sam Cunningham says that the Gulf trawl management proposals, four of them in all, are so complex that the council has ordered a work plan setting a schedule for discussion. The council meets again in December. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The state has a new director of commercial fisheries. Longtime Fish and Game employee Scott Kelly took over from Jeff Regnart, who retired at the start of October. Kelly started his career with Fish and Game as a port sampler at Excursion Inlet, a major processing facility west of Juneau. Since then, he's held a variety of roles in southeast Alaska, including working on stock assessments, serving as a regional management coordinator, and running the shellfish and groundfish program for Southeast.
Well, it's a challenge, the job that I just had. It was, you know, I had it down pat, and that's fine. It was a fun job. I got a lot of field work, which was very fun and very rewarding. But I definitely like to embrace challenges, and this director job of Commercial Fisheries Division certainly fits the bill.
The first challenge Kelly will face is helping draft next year's budget, which is expected to include cuts throughout the state.
But I'll definitely be working with the leadership of all the divisions and, of course, the commissioner on that whole process. And I know everybody's aware that it's going to be probably pretty heavy sledding, heavy going for a while. And then, of course, you move into the legislative session and work with the leadership there and legislators themselves and until we have a final product.
Kelly says his favorite part of fisheries management is the people, from working with other Fish and Game employees to getting to know fishermen and other folks in the industry.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
What happens under Arctic sea ice has largely been hidden from the prying eyes of science, but a new under-ice trawl net has changed that. As KSKA's Monica Goki reports, a new study finds a northern cod species lurking there in the billions.
Imperiled habitat. That's what you might call your digs if you live under the ice in a warming ocean. A new study by German researchers in the journal Polar Biology estimates the prevalence of nearly 9 billion Arctic cod in the eastern Arctic Ocean alone. They're a species that spends substantial time under the ice. 9 billion might sound like a lot, but Alaska fisheries scientist Franz Mutte, who's also surveyed for Arctic cod, says they've likewise found them by the billions living in the Chukchi. But
we didn't sample under the ice like they did, and that's the novel thing here is that they sampled under the ice in the central Arctic, which hasn't really been done much before.
The special net they used in the study was developed in the Netherlands. It sinks below the sea ice, and then inflatable floats bring it to the surface. Instead of trawling the bottom of the ocean, the net scrapes where ice meets ocean. It's new territory for science. Before the net, most surveying for Arctic cod was conducted in open seas, and that misses a key part of the species' life cycle. Arctic cod spawn under the ice. They actually lay their eggs there. And below the ice, juveniles find a nursery of sorts. There's plenty of zooplankton to eat, there's shelter from predators. And the study found 1 and 2-year-old fish under the ice, which was sort of surprising. In other parts of the Arctic Ocean, fish this age have already moved to the ocean floor. So under the sea ice, it's a good place to be a baby fish. And that's important for a little fish that shoulders the northern food chain.
The Arctic cod is probably the central or the most important prey species in the Arctic.
Seabirds, belugas, narwhals, seals, Arctic cod is a preferred food source for all those animals.
And so indirectly, they're quite important to subsistence hunters that depend on the mammals.
Though there isn't really a commercial fishery for Arctic cod for human consumption, after all adults are only about 10 inches long, there is concern that an increasingly ice-free Arctic could lure fishermen north, especially as traditionally commercial fish species are likewise migrating north in search of cooler waters. Earlier this summer, Arctic nations agreed to a tenuous ban on unregulated fishing in the high Arctic. That is, until more surveys like this one can better assess fish stocks so they can be responsibly regulated. In Anchorage, I'm Monica Goki.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
U.S. Attorney Karen Loeffler announced this week that Donald Ray Thornlow, former resident of Ketchikan, pleaded guilty in federal court in Juneau to violating the Lacey Act by commercially purchasing halibut that was caught for subsistence and sport purposes. Thornlow, age 66, pleaded guilty on Monday to a single count of a Lacey Act violation before United States Magistrate Judge Leslie Longenbaugh, according to the information presented to the court by Assistant U.S. Attorney Jack S. Schmidt, who prosecuted the case from January 2012 to about December 2013. Thornlow, then the owner and operator of the former Narrows Inn and Restaurant in Ketchikan, took part in a continuing scheme of purchasing subsistence and sport caught halibut for resale in his restaurant, a violation of federal law. Thornlow purchased nearly 1,000 pounds of illegally caught halibut from three different fishermen and paid them significantly less than he would have for legally harvested halibut. Under the terms of the plea agreement, Thornlow will pay a $5,000 fine and be placed on probation for 1 year. With a worldwide glut of salmon left over from a couple of good seasons and a kind of wacky summer in Bristol Bay, limited entry permit values have taken a hit. Fish Radio's Lainey Welch tells us more.
The value of Alaska salmon permits has taken a nosedive directly after the fishing season.
The permit market is really unsettled right now after the season we just had. And there were a few bright spots out there, but several fisheries did not do well, either because of production or because of price or both. And the dust really hasn't settled.
Doug Bowen runs Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer. Bristol Bay gillnet permits have taken the biggest hit. Bay fishermen got a dismal base price of just 50 cents a pound for their reds.
Those permit prices in the spring were as high as $175,000. Last week we sold one for $112,000. So that's a pretty fair drop in a few short months.
Bowen says the pattern with gillnet permits is similar elsewhere across the state.
The permit asking prices are down considerably.
It's the same story with seine permits. Bowen says it will be interesting to see what happens at Prince William Sound.
Great production, lousy price. There are several permits on the market now for $200, but no interest. And Kodiak seine permits, several of them on the market now for under $40,000, and again, pretty much no interest.
Power hand trolls are the only salmon permits getting any interest in Southeast, but even those prices are down $5,000, says Olivia Olson at Alaskan Quota and Permits in Petersburg.
It was a pretty dismal season the way prices are, and if prices are going to stay down, you know, guys are going to turn their interest to other areas.
Both brokers agree that as salmon forecasts come out for next year, buying interest is likely to tick up. But a bad fishing season means there's not a lot of excess capital floating around to upgrade or buy a new boat or add another permit to a fishing portfolio. Doug Bowen.
We'll see what the trends are as they develop, but right now it's kind of quiet, maybe too soon to tell.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KSKA's Ellen Lockyer and Monica Goki in Anchorage, and KDLG's Molly Dishner in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.